Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. I'm Joey Wagner. We're here with Illinois offensive line coach Bart Miller. Bart, I'm assuming you haven't been home in a while. It's that time of the year on the road for you, man. How's that going?
Yeah, we're out and about and recruiting, and I'm chasing some linemen, but I'm also into my area here with in Chicago and Wisconsin, Minnesota. Get ready to go on a flight here out to the East Coast, and we're very much in the middle of that spring recruiting grind. So it's good. It's the first time we've been out really since spring of 19 for spring recruiting, right? Since May of 19 for spring recruiting. You know, we've been out to go kind of talk to the guys in our class, but really not going door to door, you know, like we used to until this month. So it's been good to see some old contacts and kind of dust off the old recruiting talents, I guess. So we're out and about.
Well, what's the general reception when you guys go into places? Because this, like you said, it's the first time you've been able to go door to door with the block eye, really, for you know, all intents and purposes.
Yeah, it's been positive. Much has been made about, you know, recruiting the state and the previous staff and things of that nature. So it's been very positive in Illinois. And, I think guys that, you know, our connections in Wisconsin, our connections in Minnesota and some of the surrounding Midwestern states, I think it's been a welcome sight to see us walk in there because we haven't been, you know, in previous staff. So that black eye now is invading Wisconsin and Minnesota and Indiana. And, we're certainly going to have a presence in those Midwestern states. And it's been, and then not to mention our home state of Illinois. So it's been very overwhelmingly positive.
All right. Without giving away which hotel chain, what's the critical element to a good hotel stay when you're on the road?
I guess how many points you could rack up, but I like to stay at places that have access to, or, you know, close by good places to eat. I mean, I'm the old line guy, right? So I gotta be able to eat. And I usually try to find a place that I can, you know, it can be kind of quiet, but I can get in and off of a travel expressway or some geographic location that makes it easier for me. So, and then I'm very, very brand loyal, on the road. So I try to rack up as many statuses and points and things as I can. You know, you might as well take advantage of it when you can. Those are kind of things I look for.
So, Bart, you just wrapped up year one at Illinois. You had such a veteran group there with Doug and V and really Jack and Blake and down the line with Palcho. What was important for you coming out of year one? I mean, maybe in the back of your mind, knowing that a lot of these guys are going to be moving on, it's going to be a new wave year two.
Yeah, and that's a great question, Joey. Really, the thing that I wanted to leave maybe some of the underclassmen with is just the mentality that you have to have to play offensive line for in our program. And, we did a very, I guess, good foundational job last year, trying to lay in that solid foundation of, and that mentality of physical, hard nose, tough, nasty trench play, line play. And, obviously Doug, you know, was kind of the epitome of that, embodied that. And even guys that maybe their game in the past really wasn't built around that. Guys like Vidarian really showed flashes of that throughout the year. And obviously they both, you know, got drafted. And so you saw the fruits of kind of their labor and the sacrifices and just even, you know, Paltrow going off and coming back and, kind of his renewed purpose here. And you saw some guys in the spring like Jordan Slaughter and Pilstrom that really, have embraced that mentality. And I don't know in the past if they really did. And so, and maybe that's not fair to say, but they certainly are very much a part of that now and believe that now. And that was one thing I think we wanted to do in our room is just lay that foundation, the expectation, this is what it takes to play dominant offensive line play at the University of Illinois. And so that, I think, has the legacy that those guys have left is really positive. So
how important for you, I mean, on the field, there's any number of things that are good about having Palcho back. But when you look at bringing in five true freshmen, to have a guy who's been around and who can maybe carry on some of those legacy things that you talk about, how big of a deal is that big picture 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line for a Joey, a Hunter to learn from Palcho early on?
I think it's critical, and it's certainly a welcomed relief, you know, or maybe a welcomed addition. Palcho coming back, he has this. I mean, he's trained this offseason. He's got a new body, so to speak, right? That he hasn't had, and a healthy Palcho, and not only that, but he's got this motivation. Seeing guys that he's played with go on and get drafted, you know, three in the last 2 years that he's played with got drafted, and Jack had a chance with the Steelers, and so you saw him, you see him see those guys have success. He came back with this renewed purpose, but he also has a stronger leadership quality about him that maybe he didn't have to have in the past because of guys like Doug and Vidarian. So it's been good for Palcho, but it also, you know, he's able to really show, like you said, Joey, Hunter, some of those other, you know, guys coming in, even some of the guys that joined us mid-year, like Isaiah and Zai, right? Just, you know, the level of commitment that a senior can offer, right? An experienced guy can offer, you know, how he prepares both mentally and physically, how he's grown and improved and developed, right? I mean, he came in and played as a freshman. Some of these guys that we're bringing in, you know, we're not bringing them in to sit the bench. We're bringing them in to compete and to develop and to get better. And Palcho has shown that throughout his career. So I think it's just a tremendous value to have a guy like him, an experienced guy like him, a Midwest guy like him, a hard-nosed, tough guy like him to kind of lead the way in that room.
Is seven guys in one class, is that a personal high for you as an O-line coach? I mean, that's a lot of guys.
Yeah, it's probably up there. Maybe Air Force, we had a few more just because of the level of recruiting. But yeah, that's a big number coming in.
What's important for those five true freshmen when they get here in the summer? What's kind of important for their development as you work into fall camp? I mean, start there, obviously, and getting into fall camp.
Well, they got to learn, you know, they got to kind of be a sponge, but not get over, not get over exhausted by it, not get kind of overwhelmed by it. They need to, you know, understand that it is a process, and if they focus on, you know, one small detail to improve and continue to build on that development process, they're going to have a lot more success and a lot faster than just to try to drink out of a fire hydrant, you know. So it's important for them to come in and understand that it is not, you know, it's not high school anymore. It's major college football. It's the Big Ten. There is an expectation. And bring that work ethic, everything that we saw throughout the recruitment process. Now this is their time, you know, really to grow and to build off of those things and then learn as much as they can in the weight room, obviously in the development's physical side of it, but then also pick up, you know, take advantage of this summer, pick up on some of the techniques, pick up on some of the playbook and the terminology so that they can hit the ground running when we start, you know, full fall camp.
Let's circle back to the JUCO kids, Isaiah and Zai. What stood out about them now that you've had a little time after spring practices to digest what they were able to do during that span?
Both very impressive spring performances by both of them, right? Isaiah came in, you know, very, very technically advanced. You know, his technique, his fundamentals, he's obviously been well coached. Very impressed by the way he had this foundation of good offensive line techniques and fundamentals. And he's very willing to learn. He shows great leadership qualities. I was very, very pleased with him, you know, and his work ethic and devotion, to become the best that he's capable. And you know, it showed with the way he played all spring and really where he finished on the depth chart and things like that nature. So I'm very, very excited about, you know, that part from Isaiah. And then Zai really is the same way. Zai was a little more raw than Isaiah from a technique standpoint and a fundamental standpoint, but Zai has tremendous physical ability. He's got tremendous skill set and talent, and obviously he's, you know, great size and things of that nature. But the thing I liked about Zai is he's very coachable and willing, you know, both of them are very willing and versatile. They're willing to just do what you need to help the team. And sometimes you never quite know when you go through a recruitment with an upperclassman, with an experienced guy, with a junior college guy, a transfer guy, you know, how that's going to mesh with the rest of your unit. Because there is some of that previous experience and both those guys came in, you know, endeared themselves to the unit, endeared themselves to the team. They work hard. They're tough. They're physical. They're everything that we look for. Very, very excited about both of them.
So for those of us who need like summer content and putting out pre-depth charts and post-depth charts, you guys make it hard for us on the line because you have a lot of guys who can play a couple positions. But like, where does that stem from, that philosophy of, you know, guard tackle versatility, guard center? Like when your background of, you know, just in maybe knowing Brett, where does that come from?
Well, you got to be able to play multiple positions because you need to be able to put the best five on the field. And that maybe you might have a tackle or your backup tackle might be one of your best players. You know, what good is it him sitting on the bench when he could potentially play another position, you know, and the skill sets that we use, some of our combination blocks, some of our different types of concepts and things, you know, they can at times be very similar to one another. Right. And a guard tackle combination is going to be, you know, in theory, very similar to a center guard combination. And so the skill sets remain the same in some of our concepts. So just being able to plug and play different guys when injuries happen, you know, you got to be able to adapt. And so that's kind of where that all stemmed from was getting got their best on the field. And then also helping improve the fundamentals of each individual player so that he does have a chance at the next level. Right. And we've had guys that have played tackle for us and just like, you know, high school to college, the college game to the NFL, you know, they had the versatility to move inside, or a guy that, you know, could play center guard, both guard spots and the center spot, right? How much more versatile are you at the next level when you can play all three interior spots and a team can draft you like Doug, they can draft Doug and he could play three interior spots, you know, as opposed to picking up three different individualized players, right? And so it's no different with us. And so we love guys that have value at multiple positions, but it's more the skill set and the mentality than anything.
And is that the biggest change with your group outside of the experience, just having more of that versatility? Like in my mind last year, you had like Doug was a center to me and V, we spent most of his time at tackle. Like, is that the biggest difference year one to year two for your group?
Probably. I think you know, the we're continuing to improve the roster, improve the talent in that room and things of that nature. You know, it's another year in Tank's program and Coach B's program in the development. So the physical development, you'll see guys that are big. Julian will be bigger and Jordan will be bigger. Pill, all those guys, Palcho, right? It's a perfect example. And then some of those young freshmen, right? Like Josh Getsky and Kreutz and Barlev and some of those guys that are continuing to get bigger and stronger. So I think you'll see a lot of improvements physically from one to two. You know, hopefully there'll be a much more aware football team, right? I mean, we ask our guys to be smart, tough, and dependable. And so you know, that carries over to the football IQ piece, the defensive awareness piece. And the more they're learning about football and becoming better football players, hopefully that shows in the way they play on the field. Right. And so, I think you'll see a variety of improvements in from one to two. And certainly that's what we're striving for.
Talk about looking different. Like if freshman year Pilstrom walked into your office right now, I don't know if you would recognize him.
Probably not. He's done a tremendous job. And the things that he's gone through and the experiences he's gone through both before we got here and after we got here, and what we've asked him to do. And I'm very proud of him and very proud of his work ethic and his willingness to do what we've asked him and plug and play and learn a new spot and play all five if he has to, apparently. So he's definitely an asset to our program, and we're very happy to have him.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby Antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
So I want to talk a little bit about your path here. Like, I don't know that we have it, maybe early on in that Zoom presser, but it was like you meeting 15 strange new faces through a screen. Like, I don't know if that was the most comfortable. So everyone seems like they have somebody who kind of nudged them down this path, like this coaching path. Who was that for you? How did you know that this was your path that you wanted to take?
Well, I think it starts a long time ago when I first started playing the game, and my dad would take me to Nebraska football games. I grew up in Nebraska, and so I used to go watch Tom Osborne and his line coach was named Milt Tenneper, who's he's since passed, but was a legendary old line coach. And Frank Solich, who I ended up working for, Craig Bull, who I ended up working for, like I used to watch them coach on the sideline because I knew I wanted to be around the game. I knew I wanted to play college football. Knew this is what I wanted to do from a very young age and wanted to take the game as far as I could, but then wanted to be in some form of leadership role and what better way to do that? You know, my dad coached my little league baseball team. And so I was around, men that tried to, make me better, in sports and in life and things. And then I would watch and my dad would take me to film sessions as a kid. I remember going to watch Milt Tenneper talk about the film sessions in this little Catholic church here in Omaha on Wednesday nights during the football season. And he would bring a pitcher of beer in the bottom basement of this church and watch the game tape like a coach from the end zone angle. And he'd talk about different combinations and pancakes and all this kind of stuff. And here I am, a 9-year-old boy and just eating it up, right? And I bought his book. Like, how many 9-year-old boys buy an offensive line manual, you know? And but that was me, and that was what I loved. I loved this game. I loved this position. And then as I got into school and played, I played for a guy by the name of Bob Bostad, who's now the O-line coach at Wisconsin. And Bob was a hard man to play for, but he also gave me my start as a graduate assistant up in Wisconsin with Coach B. And then when he moved on, I was obviously fortunate enough to be promoted in 2012 with Coach Bielema. So those things that we did as a player and those things I carry over to my coaching today and the things I've learned from Coach B as a mentor, as a colleague, as friend, as obviously a guy that I work for now and head coach. And I've had so many influences that I've taken from people, both good and bad, but way more good, way more positive than the other. And I'm just very, very fortunate to have been around some great coaches that have helped steer me down this path. And, you know, it really kind of cements the things that I believed in as a player, believed in as a coach. And we're having success doing those things, and so that's really kind of my path is I take influences from a lot of people that have affected me in this game. Even guys, when I was going through the recruiting process, I recruit the way I like to be recruited, have that genuineness, I think, about the way I go about my business. And there's an honesty, a transparency, and it's not always what you want to hear, but I think it's appreciated at times when you are speaking very, very honestly to people. And so there's just so many influences in this game that I've been fortunate enough to be around and too many to name, very, very fortunate and they've guided me in this direction.
How many times have you read that book?
quite a few. It's in my office now. It's got notes in it and all kinds of things. There's some things that are a little outdated. We don't do a lot of it, but there's the mentality piece is very much real. You know, our knockdown trophy and cup and the way we chart knockdowns and things. I mean, all that stuff stems from, you know, those old mentalities and the way we let our guys compete and cut it loose. You know, we don't want them to make, you know, we don't want them to be afraid to make mistakes. We want them to play hard. I mean, we'll correct mistakes, obviously, but you know, they can't be paralyzed by fear of making a mistake. And, you know, it's sitting up there. It might even be signed by him. I have to look. I don't remember, but I probably stalked him after a game one time and had him autograph it. Probably that's one of the few autographs probably I ever have, you know, but, it very much in that world, right? The great O-line coaches. I'm a fan of the game. I'm a fan of coaches, and great O-line coaches. And so very, very passionate about it.
I don't know, like the way the world's changed, I don't know that we would see a college coach go with a pitcher of beer to the basement of a church and do film stuff. Like, I don't know that you'd see that today.
Well, we might have to work that out in Champaign if somebody's listening. We'll see if we can't get something like that going. Maybe it might be at my house. Who knows? But no, you probably won't see that much anymore. That's probably frowned upon. That's probably frowned upon nowadays.
The recruiting thing that you touched on, the way that you like to be recruited, like was that imminent? Like when you're 17, 18, like this is working for me? Or was it after the fact where you were like, okay, I probably gravitated towards that because of this? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like a lot of kids these days and a lot of kids, I was a mid-major just below the Big Ten line, you know, but so you got kind of caught in this world where you wanted more. And it was right at the time. And you know, guys that I've since talked with, like Edgy Tim in the state, and he had his website out and there was not social media, but there was Rivals was just kind of picking up and there was some tracking of offers and some tracking of commitments. And you got very, very highs and lows with, you know, your recruitment. Cause there'd be days where you'd hear from a coach and you're thinking, okay, this is so exciting. This is great. I'm going to go here. And then there'd be days where you don't hear from a coach and the guy down the street got an offer or something of that nature. Right. And so the same struggles that some of these kids go through today and, you know, maybe not quite as in your face as it is now with social media, but, you know, I remember going through, you know, that process and it's an incredibly rewarding process, but, what I had to remember, and I tell kids this now, is your recruitment is your own. And if you worry about making yourself the best player you can be, not chasing an offer, not chasing, what the guy down the street or the rival school is doing, but making yourself great, this recruitment will take care of itself and it will work out in the end. You know, so I remember being very guys that I worked with later in my career, Ron Vanderlinden is a tremendous influence when I was at Air Force, but he recruited me at Penn State. And I remember the way he recruited me and he was very genuine, very honest. I always knew where we stood and I respected him for that. And then got a chance to work with him later in my career and just the way he went about his business, the professionalism that he coached with and recruited with, I think really, really, was a shining example for me in the way to recruit. And so, I try to take pieces of that. The guy I signed, Ose Lewis, who was an Illinois assistant under Coach Turner, recruited me initially to Illinois and then I went to New Mexico with him and he was a tremendous influence on me, and he's since passed away, but tremendous influence in the way he recruited and the way he handled his business. So I think just the examples that some of these great coaches have left, not just on the field, not just in the way they run their meetings, but the way they handled their day-to-day and every aspect of the profession, it certainly rubs off on you, and it's what hasn't really affected me and mentored me through this.
So it feels like trying to get kids to focus just on their recruitment has got to feel like rolling a boulder up a hill sometimes. Like it's just, that's no knock on people. Like it's just kind of the way that social media has taken this thing.
That's right. It's human nature. And I pull up Twitter or something and it's just boom, 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 right there, you know, and, and, It's very hard at a kid that age, you know, and all the social pressures and all the new things that they're dealing with, and what's real, what's not. And, you know, there's a lot of new things that you have to kind of adapt to in today's world because of technology. It's a blessing and a curse, obviously, but, yeah, it's very difficult. That's very difficult for a young man to do. So,
yeah, I want to go to 2012. Like, this is, if I did my math right, you're 27, taking over as the O-line coach at Wisconsin. And like at this point, Wisconsin is like full Wisconsin right now. This isn't like the early stages of it. Like that had to, was there an intimidation factor? It just feels like a lot for your first full-time job, you know, getting into that.
I don't know. I might sound kind of crazy. I wasn't intimidated at all. I played in that system, right? I played for Coach Bostad. I knew that offense very well. I knew what we needed to do up front. Coach B put a tremendous amount of faith in me and confidence in me. And that gives you confidence. That gives you really this I guess, for lack of a better term, a swagger. I knew what we needed to do. Coach B knew what we needed to do. And Coach Alvarez, they, you know, the coordinators, the rest of the staff, you know, all trusted me with that. And I felt like I had a duty to perform and to live up to that. And, you know, when you got a group of guys that we had, that unit was very close. They were very loyal. And they had the ability and they just needed a little bit of guidance, and redirection. And I knew what we needed to do. And so when I was afforded that opportunity and Coach B trusted me with that, we hit the ground running and we just continued to get better and better and better as the year went on. And I think that gave us more confidence and then to Coach B's credit, right? I mean, a good leader, you know, hires good people and expects them to do their job. And that's what he did. He hired me and then told me to go do my job and expected that and trusted that I would. And it really allowed you to play and to coach, allowed the guys to play a little more freely, allowed me to coach the way I know how. And I made mistakes, of course, along the way. I'm still, you know, growing and learning. I think you do that throughout your career, but really just a great you know, man to work for, a great situation to a very difficult situation, but you know, a great opportunity to come into that. And sure enough, we had success and it's really helped me throughout my career.
Yeah. How did that first experience there in 2012, how did that shape you moving forward?
That's a great question. We had to handle a lot of difficult situations and big time games, high pressure situations, making adjustments, right? It's one thing when you're the graduate assistant and you see something and you make a comment to a coach, or, you know, you're kind of in the background helping. It's quite another when you're having to make that decision. And so I just think the level of confidence that it gave me to go ahead and execute tough decisions, make tough choices mid game, make adjustments on the sideline, growing that, trusting, learning to trust your players, learning to work with your players, not just, you know, bark out because that's what it says in the playbook, right? There's a difference what happens in the game, right? Things change. It nothing's going to go according to plan. So you got to be able to make an adjustment. You have to be able to adapt and get those things corrected, get the mistakes corrected. There's going to be a pressure that you're not ready for, that you didn't see before. And I think all that in those situations, you're playing Ohio State, when you're playing Michigan State and in these big time games, or when you go to the Big Ten Championship, right? The Rose Bowl and all those kind of things, when you learn how to work under pressure, adapt under pressure, I think that set me up for everything else that was to come along, you know. And I learned a tremendous amount. I was around some great guys and guys that ended up I worked with later again, right? I mean, Andy Boo was on that staff and Terrence Jameson was on that staff, and I ended up working later on for Charlie Partridge, who was the D-line coach on that staff. And you know, just a obviously Coach B, right? I mean, he's the kind of the architect of it all, right? And brought us all back together. So it just, there's so many, Mark Tursani. I mean, there's, and just learn what a professional environment really is, a professional working football organization is really all about, and a high level Division I program. So it set me up for my entire career.
I got to ask, because we always see the camera on the TV during the Rose Bowl, the sunset, or whatever the case may be during that game. Do you notice that during a game? Like, is it? I know you guys got a lot of stuff to focus on, but at any point, did you look up like, oh, shoot, like, that's pretty cool.
The one time in my entire career that has happened was in the Rose Bowl in 2012. We were playing Stanford, and there was a time late in the game. We were down, and we got the ball back with 4 or 5 minutes left, and we had to drive down the field, and I pulled the line over to the sideline, and I gave him like a pep talk and another tip and reminder. I don't remember what it was called, but I said something to him and then sent him out on the field. And before I left, I said, let's go win the Rose Bowl. And as they left, as they ran out onto the field, you know, Travis Frederick, Ricky Wagner, Ryan Groy, they're all running out, and I looked up through them and I saw the lights, I saw the crowd. And that was my kind of breathless, oh man, moment. Right. And that was the wow moment. And that was the one time in my entire career where I actually looked at the crowd and was like, this is pretty surreal. This is pretty awesome. And I just, that sticks out. It's very, it was a young coach and it was the one time in my career where it really, it made me kind of pinch myself. Like, this is a dream come true.
Did you mean to look, or did you just happen to kind of find your,
like, I just happened to look up through them and the lights kind of caught me and the scoreboard kind of caught me. And I looked at it and then I kind of took a deep breath, like, wow, that just happened, you know, and kind of crack a smile. And then you had to get very quickly back to the task at hand. Right. But that to me sticks out as a moment in my career where, very, very much a surreal moment.
I won't keep you. I know you probably got a flight to catch. I have one more. So you're in, yeah. Brett calls you to take, for this job, you decide to take it. I'm sure in your mind, you thought this might be what it's going to be like to work with this guy again. Maybe you had, I don't know if maybe you had scenarios or just kind of a thought of what it could be. How did year one maybe match up with what you envisioned as you were in the car coming to Champaign?
It's a good question. I think Coach B has grown too and matured too. And we all have in our own careers. I mean, that was 10 years ago when I was with him or 9 years ago, when I was with him last, but it has been, a goal of mine, a dream of mine to be back with him again. He was obviously a tremendous influence on my career and the things I learned, not only just in football, but the way to structure a practice, the way teaching progressions, organization of things. Right? I mean, all that stuff early on in your career that you learn, I learned under him. And so I've carried that with me every stop of the way. And now to be back, and that there is that familiarity, there is that knowledge of, okay, this is what he expects. This is what, the program's built off of. And that was incredibly welcomed. I was so much looking forward to that. And things that you remember from those times and some things that you forgot that you're like, oh yeah, I remember this now. But being back with some of those guys that we worked with, even support roles like Mark Tersani again, who is just the best in the business at what he does. Just that familiarity again, and the trust that I think that fosters with the staff, that's very important. So that was everything that he thought. I mean, and then he, like I said, he's grown and matured. He's learned things too, at not only Arkansas, but in under Belichick in New England. So there's some new things too, and some new stuff that the game's changed, right, with recruiting and the portal and things. So the way we have to run some things is different, and there's just constant growth and learning every day, and the challenge of that every day, which is exciting, he pushes you, the game pushes you to be better, your players push you to be better. There's a whole new set of challenges now that didn't exist 12 years ago, with social media, with some of the societal things, mental health, and just so many different things that are the kids, the things that they're faced with, the academics, and then Illinois has its unique rewards and unique challenges as well, and there's just, it's very, very exciting every day. I love coming to work because it is a little bit of an adventure, But at the same time, there's a job to do, and everybody on that staff knows it. And everybody on that staff holds each other to a very high standard. And when you're around like-minded people like that, we're a very rare breed, you know, what we do for a living and the mentality of which we operate with. And when you're around people that share those same visions and goals, wonderful things can happen. And we push each other to be better. And that's what Coach B and his staff, our staff, have done. And so that's the thing. I think I look back on year one and think, you know, this staff is very hardworking. They're very competitive. They're ambitious. They're trustworthy. We hold each other accountable. We're all in it for a common purpose, a common vision, obviously under Coach B's guidance and leadership. And we're working to do something pretty special here at Illinois. And I'm very proud to be a part of that. So when I look back on year one, that's kind of what I think of.
It seems like you guys as an offensive staff, and definitely the whole staff, but offensive staff, seems like you guys have a lot of cohesion. And then beyond that, don't you guys have a lot of, like, the kids are, give or take, pretty similar in age, right? Like your guys' own kids?
Yeah, for the most part. I think really Ben Miller's kids are just a few years older than ours, but Gio and mine are the same age. The CP is not too far. You know, Barry's kids are junior high-esque, you know, but there's lots of young kids in you know, Kevin Kane has three young kids that are same age as mine. And, you know, Terrence Jameson the same way, Ryan Walters the same way. So a lot of us have going through the same stages of life too, you know, and Coach B's got young kids. And so it's a very, energetic staff, young staff. You have to be, right, with all the little ones running around, but there is a common purpose of being good men, being good fathers too. And that's not always the case on staffs. You get some guys sometimes on staffs that, you know, maybe don't share the same values that you do. And that's one thing really nice about our staff is that we are a staff that cares about not only our kids, but our players being good men, being good husbands, being great coaches, being good leaders, and obviously working for a common purpose. So it is, it's a very cohesive group. Our offensive staff, I think, is growing more cohesive. Coach Lunny has really done a great job coming in and doing those, you know, building that staff up as well, and you know, having some fun and doing that kind of stuff. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to year two, Joey. Really am.
Awesome. Bart, I appreciate it, man. I know you got a lot going on, so I appreciate you carving out about a half hour. So I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Absolutely, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.